The obvious mitzvah in this coming week's Sedra is the mitzvah of Mitzora, Tzoras, of this spiritual, physical disease that doesn't apply anymore. It only applied in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Certain parts of this only applied in Eretz Yisrael, others applied even outside of Eretz Yisrael. We will explain why it doesn't happen today. It was something that wasn't treated by a doctor, but treated by the Kohen because it came specifically for sins. Okay, we'll discuss the background of it later. I first want to discuss the laws concisely. We're not going to be able to spend the time spent learning all the laws of Tzoras. They're very intricate, complicated laws. But at least you have an idea what it's all about. So concisely, we'll give an overview of the laws of Tzoras. There are basically three kinds of Tzoras. There's Tzoras that affect human beings, and that is broken down into a few different kinds. There's Tzoras that affects clothing, and Tzoras that affects homes, houses. Let's start with the Tzoras that affects a human being. There are, again, a few different subcategories. The first kind is Tzoras that affects the skin in areas not the head or the beard. Okay? There are four appearances that could appear on the skin of a person that would indicate that he may have Tzoras. And they are white patches of skin, almost like dead skin, white skin, in the middle of regular skin. And there are only four levels of whiteness that this applies to, and the Kohanim had to be expert to be able to distinguish between these different shades of white. Right? The brightest white was called Baheres, and that was like snow white. And then there was a level beneath that called Sapachas of Baheres, which was like plaster. Then there was something called Se'es, that was like white wool, and a secondary whiteness to that, also called Sapachas, which was like the white membrane around an egg. Okay, the inner white membrane. So those four whitenesses are the only kinds of white that cause Tzoras. If it's less than that, if it's a dimmer white, that's called Bohak, and that doesn't make a person Tomei. It's irrelevant when it comes to the laws of Tzoras. Okay, now, if the person comes to the Kohen, and he has one of these patches of white on his arm, on his leg, okay, like we said, anywhere except the head or the beard part of the face, so the Kohen takes a look at it. If it has two white hairs inside of it, then he immediately says that he's Tamei, and he becomes a Tamei Muchlat, a Mitzora Muchlat, and we'll get later on what the laws of that Mitzora are. Or another possibility, he sees there's some regular skin in the middle of this white patch, and the white patch has to be a certain size, has to have a certain shear. If it's smaller than that, then it's not Tzoras, but then it has to have a certain size. If in the middle of that white patch there is healthy skin, then he's also tummy. Immediately. He's a tummy, finished. Okay. What happens if there aren't two hairs and there is no healthy skin inside the white? It's a white patch with nothing inside. Then he is quarantined for a week. And after a week, the Kohen comes back and takes a look again. If this white patch has spread, then he's Tamei and he becomes a Mitzora. Okay, if it didn't spread, but it didn't get less or go away, then he's quarantined for another 7 days. If it went away or it got less, then he is sent home, he's okay. Okay, if after the second 7 days, even if it hasn't gone away, but it hasn't spread, he's tar. But if it's spread, then also he is a muchlet, and even if 20 years later it spreads, he immediately becomes a Mitzora muchlet. Okay. Another possibility. If this white patch spreads over his entire body, he's not a Metzora. It covers his entire body, he's not a Metzora. If later on one little patch of healthy skin grows up, then he's a Metzora. One of the reasons of this, I'll tell you two ideas behind it. It doesn't make sense. He has one little patch, he's a Metzora. If it's all over his body, he's not. The Chafetz Chaim says a spiritual idea. The whole purpose of quarantining the person and making him tameh is to make him think so he'll do tshuva. But you don't need to quarantine somebody and make him tameh if his whole body is covered with it, he gets the message. So he doesn't need anything else to get the message. That's one idea. Second idea is just the opposite. When something is contained in one area, it may go deep. But when it spreads over the whole body, then it's only on the surface. It's not as serious. So if it's shallow, it's not serious. But if it's contained in one place, it may go deep, then it's a serious thing. Okay, now when it says it goes over his whole body, it means everywhere, has to spread everywhere except his head and his face where there's a beard. Okay, that's one kind of tzaras. That's called tzaras or habasar. Tzaras that affects the regular skin of a person. Now the second subcategory is called shin. Person had a wound that was caused by something that was called something hit him. He got hit by a hammer, or he fell down and he scraped his arm or leg or whatever, and it partially healed, not completely. And it was like a scab or an area that is raw skin, partially healed skin, and on that, all of a sudden, comes a white patch with a reddish tinge to it. Here the Gemara compares this reddish tinge to like putting a few drops of blood into milk. And it gets a little bit of a reddish tinge. White with a reddish tinge. So here also the halacha is, he comes to the Kohen looks for two white hairs inside this patch. If it has two white hairs, he is tameh, a Metzora right away. If there aren't two white hairs, then he gets quarantined for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, if it spreads, he is tameh. If it doesn't spread, then he's tahor. He doesn't have another quarantine. And this one is only one quarantine. If it spreads, he's tameh. If it doesn't spread after 7 days, even if it doesn't go away, he is sent home. Then there's another kind, which is similar to this, is called a michveh. Michveh means there was a burn. The person had a burn. And it healed. But it's still raw skin. And on that raw skin, it's not totally healed, again, there came this white patch with a little bit of reddish mixed in. A reddish-white patch. Here again, the Kohen looks for these white hairs. If no white hairs, then he quarantines him for 7 days. If it spreads after 7 days, he's tameh. If it doesn't spread, he goes home. Okay. Then there is called a nesek. A nesek is a tzaras on the face, where a person has a beard, or on his head. Okay? Now, a nesek can also be not where there is hair now, but where there used to be hair. That's bald. So he can either be a karachas, which is the back of the head, bald spot on the back of the head, or a gabachas, where there's a bald spot on the front of the head. But it's a place where there used to be hair. So now the halacha is like this. This is a different kind of thing. Here again, white patch. The Kohen looks to see if there are golden hairs, yellow hairs, not white hairs, in the middle of this or not. If there are, then he's immediately tameh. If there are black hairs in the middle of the patch, he's immediately tahor, he gets sent home. Okay? If there are any hairs at all, just a white patch without any hairs, then the Kohen shaves the guy's head and leaves a border around this white patch of two hairs all around. Two hairs, two rows of hair. So if it spreads, it'll go beyond the hair. So he'll be able to see if it spreads or not. So he leaves this border of hair. He shaves the guy's head and leaves the border of hair or his face or whatever. And then he quarantines it for 7 days. If after 7 days it doesn't spread, he goes home. If it does spread, he is tummy. If at any point two black hairs grow in this white patch, he's immediately tar. That takes away the tzaras. Okay, now, so those are basically the different subcategories that apply to tzaras on a human being, on a Jew. Only applies to Jews. Now, what happens to the guy who's tummy? What has he have to do? So first of all, he has to immediately, if he lives in a walled city like Yerushalayim, or any of the other walled cities, Tiberia, other walled cities in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he had to leave the city. If he lived in an unwalled city like Netanya, he could stay in the city. If he lived in a walled city, he had to leave the city. Couldn't be in a walled city. Okay? He had to tear his clothing, like an other, like a mourner, tear his clothing. He wasn't allowed to shave or take a haircut, also like a mourner. Okay? And he had to cover his mouth, like the Arabs cover with a like the talus that you cover over your mouth, okay? And he had to go around proclaiming, "Tame, tame, I'm tame, tame, stay away." What? This applies to women too. Yeah, we have no prejudice, no bias. Women can become mitzorayim too. And what's it called? One of the reasons that he has to cry out that he's tame is that people should stay away from him. They shouldn't become tame. Another reason is that people should daven for him. Okay, now, how does he become tar? So, when the, what's it called, the patch heals, either two black hairs come in certain situations, or it goes away, whatever the healing, like we mentioned, would be, the Kohen comes, takes a look, and he sees he's healed. So the first thing he does is he takes two birds, two kosher birds. One of them is shechted, okay, and its blood is collected in a vessel, and it's shechted over a vessel with spring water in it, and the blood is collected in that spring water. And you take the live bird plus a piece of erez, a cedar, piece of cedar wood, and an azol, the hyssop, and the live bird together, and you dip it into the blood that's in the spring water, right, of the bird that was shechted, and then you sprinkle it, the Kohen sprinkles this mixture 7 times on the mitzora, and then we send the live bird away, okay? Then, that's the first stage of his purification. Then, all the hair on his body is shaved. He goes to the mikveh, and he waits 7 days. At this point, he's allowed to come into the city, but he's not allowed to live with his wife. Or, wife's not allowed to live with the husband. After 7 days, he shaves all the hair on his body again. Okay? He goes to the mikveh again. The next day, which is the 8th day, he brings a group of sacrifices, which is a sin offering, an asham, which is a keves, a lamb. Okay, and the blood of that offering is put, sprinkled by the Kohen on the Mizbeach, and then it's put on his ear lobe, and on his pinkies, and on his big toe. And the Kohen sprinkles it towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the Heichal, and then there's also brought with it a log of oil, of olive oil, and that oil is the Kohen puts on his palm, and he also sprinkles it on the, what's it called, he puts it on the mitzvah in the same place they put the blood, and the rest of it he pours on the mitzvah's head, and then he brings a female lamb for a sin offering, and a mincha, a meal offering, and an ola, a burnt offering. And he can't afford all these animals, then he brings one animal, one lamb, as an asham, and the two birds as a minch, an ola and a chatas. And after all that's done, he is purified. Okay. That is tzaras that affects a human being. Now tzaras that affects clothing. Okay, here it only applies to woolen clothing, linen clothing, or what's it called, leather, or things made out of leather, okay, or not clothing, but the a piece of material that has been woven. It has the warp and the woof, which I have no idea what that means, but it means the horizontal and vertical stitches, whatever they're called. Okay. Now, on that beged comes not a white patch like by a human being, but a very deep green patch or a deep red patch, like a mold, appears on the garment. And again, this is not a physical thing. This is something, it doesn't happen. It happened, it was a spiritual thing, which we'll get to in a few seconds to explain what's going on here. So if you have a blouse, all of a sudden there's this deep red patch on it or deep green patch, you bring it to the Kohen. Kohen takes a look at it, and he quarantines the garment for 7 days. If at the end of 7 days it spreads, then it's tamei muchlet. What do you do with it? You burn it. You burn the blouse. Okay? If it doesn't spread, then you wash it with 7 different kinds of cleaning agents that the Gemara tells us what they are. And what's it called? You quarantine it after it's been washed for another 7 days. If it, what's it called, doesn't go away, doesn't get less, or surely if it gets bigger after the second 7 days, you burn the garment. If it, what's it called, gets dimmer, what's it called, but it doesn't get smaller, but dimmer, the color gets dimmer, but it doesn't get smaller in area, then you tear out the part that has the nega, right, the blemish, you burn that, and the rest of the garment you can keep. If it goes away, right, then the garment is okay. Okay, well, you can use the material, whatever. If it ever comes back, immediately you have to burn the garment. Okay, that's clothing. Now, houses. Can the garment be in a walled city? I'm not sure. I think yes, but I'm not sure. Okay, now a house. These two halachas apply even in Chutz Laretz. If you live in Chutz Laretz, you can be a Metzora at the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, you could be a Metzora even in Chutz Laretz. And you could have clothing that was Toras. But your home in Chutz Laretz can never become Metzora. Homes only in Eretz Yisrael. So it only applies to homes in Eretz Yisrael. Let me just finish the halachas. Here again, the apparition is a deep red or deep green patch on the wall, inner wall of the house, with a certain size, whatever. Then, before you call the Kohen, first thing you do is empty out the house, specifically from things made out of earthenware. Because if the house is Tameh, everything inside becomes Tameh, and there's no way of purifying earthenware things. Other things you can take to a mikveh. Earthenware you can't purify, you have to break them. So in order that you shouldn't lose money, first get it out of the house, so in case the house is Tameh, these won't be in the house when it was declared Tameh, and until it's declared Tameh, the things are okay. They only become Tameh from the time the house is declared Tameh. Till then, they're okay. So if they're taken out of the house before it's declared Tameh, they're fine. Then the Kohen comes, he looks, sees this red or green patch, and he quarantines the house for 7 days. Okay? And here, it's a little bit complicated what exactly, in any case, if at the end of 7 days, okay, he sees that, what's it called, that it hasn't spread, okay, then he, if it is spread, then he, you take out those rocks, those stones from the wall, okay, and you put in new stones, and you replaster that part of the wall, okay, and you have a second 7 day quarantine. If it comes back after that, you have to knock the whole house down. Whole house is demolished. Okay? If it doesn't come back after that, then it is tar. Okay, there are some complicated halachas over here, whether it became dim but didn't become smaller, or became smaller and didn't become dimmer. Sometimes you have to quarantine the house up to 3 times. 3 7-day period, 21 days of quarantine. Okay, but basically, without confusing you and getting too much into detail here, basically the halacha is that if after the quarantine, okay, the thing has spread or not gotten less in certain ways, then what you have to do is take those stones out of the wall, discard them, and put new stones in, give another quarantine to see what's going to be until it either goes away, or if it doesn't go away, then you have to demolish the house. Sometimes, if it doesn't spread or it gets dimmer or whatever, all you have to do is not take out those things. All you have to do is scrape away the what's left of the tzaras, and then the house is okay. Okay, how do you purify the house? A beggar, there's no purification. If it's tameh, you burn it. A house, if it's tameh, right, you have to demolish it. But how do you, if the thing goes away, then how do you purify the house that had tzaras, but it went away? Now you don't have to demolish the house, but the house is tameh. How do you purify the house? Here also, you take an eitz eretz, an ezov, and a shkit tolas, take a piece of cedar wood, hyssop, and a piece of dyed, wool, and again, spring water, and the two birds, and go through that process of sprinkling the blood on the house and letting the living bird go away, and and then the house is purified. Okay, what's this all about? Okay, those are basically the halachas, which I'm sure that probably most of you have never heard before. But now when you listen to the Torah reading this week, it'll make some sense to you. You'll remember at least some of these basics. Hold on. The Kuzri says, where does this come from? He says that when Klal Yisrael had a Beis HaMikdash and God's presence was amongst us, then when we were doing what was right, God's presence added a luster and a light, right, to the Jewish people, and a wisdom to the Jewish people. When God's presence left us, because we weren't doing what was right, but didn't leave us completely, it just distanced itself a little bit, then it left an impression. When God's presence is in a place, and it leaves an impression. And the impression is this tzaras. And it reminds us that somehow we are not as close to God as we were before. And therefore, this comes because of various sins, including Lashon Hara, which we'll get to. Right? So we distance ourselves a little bit from God. So when you have that tremendous closeness, the distance now, the Maharal Prague says that the whole concept of Negayim is when you go out of that which is the order of things. Really, what should be is that we should have a tremendous connection to God. When we go away from that, then comes these Negayim. Now, the Rabbeinu Bachya says that this only happened, this concept of Negayim only started after the sin of the golden calf. Because before the sin of the golden calf, God's presence was with us all the time, never went away. Once we had the golden calf, we had the possibility of having God's presence, but it also going away intermittently. What's the idea? The idea is that when a person, especially with Lashon Hara, when a person does certain sins, but specifically Lashon Hara, it's like he goes out of his domain. A human being is defined by speech. That makes us different than the animal. So when you totally abuse your speech and use it for Lashon Hara, you're like, you're not a human being anymore. So it shows up on your skin that something's wrong. It's like you've killed part of you. It's like dead skin in the middle of the live person. Now the Al-Sheikh says, therefore it doesn't apply today because we're anyway far away from Hashem. So being farther away doesn't make any impression. Okay, my Rosh Hashiva said this idea on a different thing. The Gemara says, it's really a Medrash, but the Gemara alludes to it. The Gemara says there was a city came to Rosh Hashiva and asked that he send one of his students to be the rabbi in their place. They never rabbi for a long time. There are a lot of questions. They need a rabbi. So Rosh Hashiva called Levi ben Sisi, and he told him, I want you to be the rabbi in this place. Go there. So he went, and they were so ecstatic to get a rabbi after so long. They built a big bima in the middle of the city, and they put him up on a throne, and they had a lavish, banquet to honor the installation of the rabbi. And during this installation, they asked him the questions. They had three questions that they had for a long time. They had nobody to ask. Finally, every rabbi asked the questions. He asked him the questions. He didn't know the answer to any of them. So that night, he was so embarrassed, he went back to the yeshiva. The morning comes, and the yeshiva sees that he's back. He said, I sent you to be the rabbi in this place. What are you doing here? He said, I'm so embarrassed. He said, they asked me three questions, and I didn't know anything. He said, you didn't know the answers to the questions? He says, yeah, I know the answer. He told him this one, this one, this one. He said, why don't you tell them? So I'll tell you the truth. They put me up on this big bima, and I started to think, hey, I'm really somebody. And I forgot all my learning. Everything I ever knew just went out of my head. So that's what happened. So now Rosh Yeshiva asked, Amaisa, later than Sisi's little bit of haughtiness is nothing like the haughtiness we have all the time. So how come we don't forget our learning all the time? How can we remember anything? If he forgot everything because he was a little bit haughty, how can we remember anything? So he said, no. He said, when a person is in a very bright light, and he's out in the sun, and he walks into a normal room, what happens to him? He gets blinded. He can't see. But when you're in the room all the time, you can see very nicely. When you're haughty all the time, it doesn't affect you. You get a little bit more haughty. When you're perfect all the time, and then a little bit, you become haughty, then it's like blinds you. Then it's like going into a dark room, right, from the bright light. But we're not in the bright light ever, so it doesn't make any difference to us. So, same thing over here. Where we have that tremendous closeness to God, and something affects and alters it and pushes us a little bit away, immediately it shows up. But we're anyway distanced from God, then it doesn't have any effect, and that becomes the norm. Okay. Also, it hints to the fact, one of the Sfarim says, that all the sins that a Jew can have remain skin deep. They're only on his skin. They're not deep in his neshama. A Jew never, the blemish is never so deep that it affects his neshama. His neshama remains pure. It just affects his skin. It's only a skin deep blemish. The Chinuch says that this whole parsha of Negayim is to instill in us a recognition that God controls the world. Things don't just happen by chance. That if somebody has this path, it's because God wanted it. He has to do tshuva, right? He goes to the Kohen to know that it's sins that cause problems and not just happenstance and coincidence. And the Sifse Kohen says that the Kohen was able to see with his Ruach HaKodesh, the Kohanim were very spiritual people. So when somebody came with one of these patches, he was able to see what sin it came from, and then he would tell the guy Musar, and tell him how to correct the sin, and what he had to do, so he would do tshuva. So it's a whole spiritual process that went on, not just a physical examination like you went to the doctor. And also, the whole idea that people should pray for him, prayer also reminds us that God controls the world, otherwise nothing to pray for. So the whole concept of Saras is also connected to the idea of prayer and belief in divine providence, so says the Svarno. And the purpose of quarantining the person is to give him time to think, to do tshuva, to do a little bit of a reevaluation and introspection. And therefore, the Rikanti says, interesting, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to cut away if you have those two white hairs, right? The guy's in quarantine, he sees two white hairs grow up inside the thing. He knows if the coin comes and sees them, he's finished. He has to be easily coming. So he pulls out the hairs. Or he sees that the thing is spreading, so he cuts away some of the part that's spread. He transgresses a prohibition. So normally we think it's because you are subverting the whole process. But the Rikanti says a different idea. He says, don't treat it like something physical. Where you can pull out the hairs, you can deal with the thing in a physical way. It's not a physical disease. And therefore, don't deal with it in a physical way. Understand that it's something spiritual. The physical only represents something spiritual. And therefore, even though it's a physical apparition, but it comes from when there's something wrong spiritually with a person, it appears on the skin like a screen. In fact, the Kli Yoker says, Motz Mitzora is Motzi Ra. It takes out the evil from within and displays it without, on the skin like on a screen. And that's why the Sfas Emes says that or is the thing that separates between the internal part of the person and the externals. And when a person's internal is affected, it appears on the skin. In fact, even today, I think that there are certain tests you can take just from the skin to find out a lot of internal diseases. Right? If you test the skin, you can find out a lot about what's going on inside the body. Also, clothing, skin, homes can all either be something that separates between you and God. Like a person can build a home that separates between him and God. He can wear clothing that separates between him and God. His skin, he can do with his body that which separates, or these things can connect you to God. So this is where the nega appears. The Rabbeinu Bachya says that all of these negayim emanated from the snake, the original snake, who also spoke lashon hara against God, and said that God ate from this tree and created the world. He doesn't want you to be like God, so that's why he doesn't want to eat from the tree. It also comes from gaiva, that's why se'eh, something that's raised up. You're too haughty. Or you connect yourself, sabachas, you connect yourself to evil people. Or you run after too much luxuries. Those three things also can lead a person to negayim. And the Hemet Gover says that the negayim of the head, which are different than the body, are because people have false ideas, bad ideas. And also the Sefer HaVakim says that just like lashon hara is contagious, one person speaks lashon hara, he affects an entire people he speaks about, people he speaks to, so too tzaras, a very contagious kind of disease. Why do you tear the clothing of a person who's a mitzora? To subdue him. A person who's too haughty, speaks lashon hara about other people, the cure for that is to become a little bit more modest and humble. So it humbles him by tearing his clothing, and also he becomes like an oval. He's mourning for himself, like he killed himself, because he's no longer a human being, because he used his speech the wrong way. And also, clothing represents a person's midos tovos. His head represents his ideas. You have bad ideas, bad character traits, and you have to cover your mouth, keep quiet for a while. Okay? And then later, have clothing that's totally torn, or you don't cut your hair, you don't go after these luxuries. You don't care so much about how nice you look. The Sasema says something very interesting. It says we have two birds. The birds chatter, so they represent somebody who talks too much. But one bird you kill because you said things you shouldn't have said, silence that bird. But when you were talking the lashon hara, you could have been talking good things. The person wasn't born to be a mute. He was born to say good things. So at the time that you were speaking the lashon hara, you couldn't have been saying good things. So we keep one bird alive, one chatter is good. But you're going to be held responsible not only for speaking bad, but at the time you were speaking bad, you should have been speaking good. The Nitziv says that the mitzvahs that we give this mitzvah to be involved with, all this process of becoming tahar, he's now involved in mitzvahs that a regular person doesn't have, that's part of the kapara also. Okay, the Rambam says that I don't understand, I don't have a logical reason, a tam, for why you have to bring a piece of cedar and a hyssop and a dyed wool, what that means, and why the paraduma, the same thing, I don't understand, the Rambam says. I have no clue. Others say that it represents, eight eras represents haughtiness. Hyssop represents where you're too humble, right? We have no self-worth. And the dyed wool represents the eight sahara that dyes everything and distorts everything and makes you do sins. So more or less, that is the mitzvah from this coming week's Sedra. I hope that when you read the Tazria Mitzvah, it'll make a little bit more sense. Last week's Sedra. Where is it? In the whole Parshios. It's what's it called? It describes all of the laws of Tzoras, all of them, in both of these Parshios, what you do with them or whatever. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is conducting oneself properly when it comes to these Tzoras. Right. Not you shouldn't get it, but if you get it, how to deal with it. The process is the mitzvah. You go to the Kohen, and all of those things are part of the process is the mitzvah. Okay.